Hey, I'm Hari Kondabolu. Welcome back to Midday. When she was 5 years old, Sofia Stevanović and her parents left their beloved home in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, for Melbourne, Australia. While she and her family worked to establish their new life in Melbourne, they often traveled back to Belgrade as Yugoslavia was being torn apart by war. In her memoir, Miss Ex-Yugoslavia, Sofia Stevanović charts her journey as a child coming of age and often feeling like a fish out of water, and details her family struggled to acclimate to a new culture. It's published by Atria Books, and I'm happy that it's brought Sofia Stevanović to our show today. Sofia, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Hari.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to start with the name of the book, because obviously the name is going to draw a lot of attention. It's called Miss Ex-Yugoslavia. When you were 22, you entered the Miss Ex-Yugoslavia beauty pageant in Australia. First of all, it seems like a weird idea for a competition, bringing young women from a war-torn country together to be objectified. But, you know, how come that was the case? And also, how surreal was it?
It was pretty surreal. However, being part of that community, I was kind of used to it. So I think, you know, I grew up in Melbourne, in Australia, and my family had emigrated from Yugoslavia, and my parents had come on professional visas. So we weren't actually involved in the war. However, there were plenty of people who came to Australia who were. So there were lots of girls who were refugees who were also part of this competition. And I think a lot of people think, hang on a minute, if this country fell apart due to this war, why were you all hanging around together, and why is ex-Yugoslavia even a thing, and why was your community, you know, we kind of had this ex-Yugoslavian community, which sounds weird, right? But for us, I think that there were plenty of people who were very nostalgic about what Yugoslavia had been like, and who kind of like dreamt of this place that was amazing before these politicians came and broke it up. And so I was part of this ex-Yugoslavian community where everyone really liked to spend time together. And we also had in common that we were all immigrants in Australia, right? So we weren't part of the majority, and therefore we stuck together. And then, just to make things even more weird, someone thought of this idea of this beauty competition specifically for Miss Ex Yugoslavia. It was a very, I can't emphasize enough that it was a very small kind of competition. It wasn't like if whatever you're picture like that it's a very small community in the suburbs of this big Australian city. The competition was above this fruit and vegetable market.
And that was not what I was imagining at all, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was this weird kind of club. So I was a documentary film student at the time, and I thought it would be amazing to like film it and do this thing. But also I was terrified because obviously it was still a beauty competition, and I kind of like this tiny little part of me was like, what if I do really well?
You get sucked in immediately.
Yeah.
Why did you want to do it, or why did you agree to do it?
Well, I think that it was my community, and I do understand that my community is pretty fascinating, right? Like if you're part of this microcosm inside this wider Australian, you know, Australia is a pretty, you know, at first glance, a monocultural kind of society. So right. I came from this very weird little group of people, and we had our own culture and spoke our own language. And I went to all the Yugo clubs with all the other young Yugos. So I knew that it was interesting. And I guess I wanted to kind of have a look at my community from the inside. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. I'll be part of this weird competition.
You were born in November of 82, and you write that the timing was incredibly inconvenient. What was happening in Yugoslavia at that time?
Yeah, so I was born. So the book is called Miss Ex Yugoslavia, but it's not all about the pageant. So I talk about the pageant a little bit, but then I go all the way back to when I was born. And that was before the wars started. I was born in Belgrade, which was the capital. It was this like sort of the cosmopolitan center of the country, and my parents were part of this like intellectual group of like artists, and they used to like hang out and smoke and drink and have these interesting conversations. Yet there was like something politically not right. So when I was born, the country was starting to, you know, you were starting to sort of see signs of bad things to come. So there was a blackout, like there were scheduled blackouts, which means that my parents couldn't turn on the lights. And also everyone had like every second day you were allowed to drive because of gasoline shortages. So the night I was born, my parents' car couldn't be on the road, so they had to get someone else to drive them. So it was just this kind of, you know, if you compare it to today, it wasn't, I mean, it was a while ago, but it wasn't that long ago that, you know, my parents' world was so different to mine.
Were the blackouts scheduled blackouts because the electricity had to be shared, so it couldn't be, right? You write about having an earth-shattering realization at the Singapore airport on your way to Australia. You write, quote, "Everything I thought was good up until then was actually terrible. I was suddenly gripped with a crazy delight." What does that mean, and how long did that feeling last?
So I was born into socialist Yugoslavia, which I thought was great because I had, you know, grandparents who looked after me, and we had a really close-knit group of friends, and I was pretty spoiled. Like, my parents thought I was pretty amazing. I got to show off in front of their friends. My sister wasn't born yet, so I was just this. I had this pretty great childhood, and I thought that where I grew up was amazing. We had this like yard where all the kids would play from the buildings surrounding us. However, I hadn't experienced capitalism,
right?
Specifically, when we left Yugoslavia, I was so upset because, you know, I thought we'd never see our family again, our friends. I had loved it, and then we got on the plane, all tearful, and landed at Singapore Airport, and suddenly everything was amazing. There was like ads for, you know, like Walkmans and toys and clothes, and there was this like beautiful Singaporean woman spraying perfume, and I was like, what is this? You know, it was amazing. And we hadn't, everything was so clean, and there were orchids growing. I think Singapore Airport is pretty amazing still, but to me then, when I hadn't seen anything apart from little grey Belgrade, right. It was incredible.
It's like being in the subway for an hour, and then all of a sudden you get out and it's Times Square, and everything is shining and bright and loud.
Except if Times Square was like super clean.
So it's not at all like that at all. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about refugees in this country. You and your family were not refugees when you left Yugoslavia.
No. So we came from Serbia.
Right.
We weren't refugees. So my parents came on professional visas. So we were part of the brain drain that happened before the wars. So my dad was a computers guy. And at that time, Western countries like America and Australia were really interested in tech people from different parts of the world. And where we came from, there wasn't the kind of growth that was happening over here. My dad used to read about like Bill Gates and be like, one day this guy will be really famous. And so that attracted him to the West.
Why did they choose Australia?
I think that the visa came faster, to be honest.
Right.
America was also on the cards, but I think that Australia was quicker with the visas, except it was also pretty like the furthest place my parents could think of, and we knew nothing about it. Like America, at least we had some shows like Dynasty, and you know, so we had an idea of things are like over here. But Australia, we had no idea.
Right.
We'd seen Crocodile Dundee and had like brochures from the embassy. That was it. So it was a great unknown.
I mean, did you speak English when you came to the country? Was there some basic English like that you spoke? It was, so you were learning from scratch.
I was learning from, that was probably the worst thing, because I was so proficient at Serbo-Croatian. I was like this little nerd who knew all these complicated words, and I was so proud of myself, and I used to, you know, read and everything in my language. And then suddenly I came to Australia and I couldn't speak English, and it was so humiliating. And the other kids laughed at me, and I got bullied, and it was just this, I was only five, you know, I think it was much worse for my mother, who was 35 and who spoke with an accent and people suddenly looked at her, even though she was a very smart, articulate person, suddenly she was looked down upon. But it was tough. Language is hard.
I mean, it's tricky because I just remember visiting my grandmother in India and just being unable, because the language we speak in southern India is Telugu, and being so not proficient in it that I couldn't talk about anything other than fruit. Mm. Like the vocabulary was so limited, and so everyone treated me like a child, even though I was in my 20s, because it's you people assume if you cannot communicate things in this particular language, you're clearly stupid.
Yeah.
There's no way to have a complex conversation. So I can only imagine how frustrating that must have been for her. How did she approach your ESL education?
She let me watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
I love TV. To this day, I think that TV is one of the best teachers I've ever had because it's really non-judgmental. You know,
you can
sit there and you get to be passive, but you also watch. And I knew how stories work, they've got beginning, middle and end. So if I didn't know certain words, I could sort of fill in the gaps a little bit. And she let me watch TV all the time and I loved it. And that was one of the best things my mum did for me when I was a kid, I think.
How did that feel? Because I'm sure a lot of kids who immigrate, there is a feeling of alienation. And you were talking about other kids making fun of you. When did you feel that lessened? When did you feel that you felt more integrated into it?
It happened pretty quickly because I think that young kids are just so good at adapting and listening and being able to mimic the things that go on around them. So I think within the year I was speaking English really well. However, my Serbo-Croatian was starting to suffer. So then when my family picked us up and took us back to Yugoslavia, which they did when I was about 7.
So
suddenly,
that was 91 or when was it?
Yeah, that was 91. That was 1990 when we went back.
Yeah.
Just before the war in Croatia started.
That was March 9th, 91.
March 9th, 91 was a really famous protest that happened against the war and against Slobodan Milosevic. So my parents became really involved in the anti-war movement and they were... they protested against Slobodan Milosevic, who was the leader at the time, and against the war that was stirring. But then the war in Croatia did start, and after that, the war in Bosnia. And we had these horrible wars in that region for the next 10 years or so.
What were your parents' expectations when they were going back? Did they sense this is a thing that could be happening?
I think they were kidding themselves a little bit. So also, this is before the internet. So the reports we had were little sound bites from the radio or from TV, which are always, reduce things to just, some short summary or things our family said who actually wanted us to come back.
Right.
For my dad, he had been having an okay time in Australia because he was working and he was respected at his work. For my mum, however, what we talked about with language and stuff, she felt, like people looked down on her and she wasn't able to be articulate and she didn't have friends and she really wanted to go home. So I think we went home with my parents a little bit kidding themselves that it was all going to be fine. However, it wasn't. And then back we came to Australia again.
There's a lot of humor throughout your book, and especially with a lot of dark scenes. Did using humor come naturally to you, just as a kid and with writing this book? And why did you choose to write this to begin with?
Yeah. So for me, humor is really important. For me personally, I think that it helps to connect with people. And I use humor in my life a lot. My grandma used to say, if we didn't laugh, we'd be crying all the time, which I think is an interesting observation. So I do use humor in my writing, but I also, I'm aware that sometimes I write about really serious things and I don't want to be disrespectful. So that's also a really, interesting balance too. The reason that I decided to write this book, I've always talked about my childhood and it's something that I think about a lot, and immigration and being an immigrant kid. I think it's something that a lot of people identify with, whether they come from my part of the world or not. But when I moved to New York, so I'd lived in Australia most of my life and I moved to New York a couple of years ago, and I started telling stories with the moth. Because I suddenly felt confident here. Like, usually in Australia, I feel shy doing that kind of thing. But here, New York is crazy. Like, people just get up and talk about whatever they want.
Anywhere, in fact.
Yeah, well, everyone just, you know, comes from different places and they're not embarrassed. And no. I was like, hey, no one, why can't I do this? So then I started telling stories about being a kid, and people were really nice about it. And it was really well received. And I thought, if they care about me being this Yugo kid growing up in Australia, maybe I can, like, write a whole book about it.
I mean, each month you host The Alien Nation. What is it, and why do you think it's important to celebrate immigration, especially in this moment?
Yeah, so it's this show that I host at Joe's Pub every month. It's called This Alien Nation, and the idea behind it is to share immigrant stories. For me, so I love telling stories about my life, and I love hearing other people's stories. I find them so interesting. I think that people who come from different parts of the world make our society a much more interesting place. And I've always just wanted to hear stories. And I think that we talk about immigration a lot, but usually it's just the word immigration. And there's a lot, you know, it's either like, is immigration bad or is immigration good?
Right.
While I think that it's so much more complex than that and so much more interesting. And the best way to understand immigration better is to just hear stories of individuals. And I think that very personal individual stories are extremely important and help us to understand people who come from other places. So that's what I love. I love hearing those stories. And so I was like, maybe we could have a whole show about this. And it's so fun. Like, we invite people every month who have these fascinating backgrounds, and they just tell a story. It doesn't have to be like a serious, you know, it doesn't have to be like an epic story about immigration. It can be just anything from their life.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking with Sofia Stevanović about her new memoir, Miss Ex Yugoslavia, on Wednesday, June 13th at 7 p.m. That's this Wednesday. Sofia will be hosting This Alien Nation, a monthly salon featuring stories by people with immigrant backgrounds at Joe's Pub. That's 425 Lafayette Street. And on June 27th at 7 p.m., Sofia will be speaking and signing books at Rough Draft Bar and Books in Kingston, New York. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.